Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, a garden at the foot of the Mount of Olives. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Then he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
I don't know about you all, but I feel like as I go about my day and life with family and workplace, I think the thought often, and sometimes I say it out loud, why can't we all just get along? As I look at the problems in the world, the problems around us, it feels like the solution should be simple. If people would just be kind to each other, if they would just do these simple things, everything would be so much better. I especially see it these days in the lives of my kids. I think I was blessed for a long time that I have three kids, they're all 2 years apart, and they've gotten along almost miraculously well. And I did not realize that until my oldest turned 14 and my middle is 12 and my youngest is 10. And they no longer get along. And their mom and I, we just watch them as these simple chores around the house, simple interactions over dinner, someone's pouring themselves a glass of milk while someone else needs to get a fork out of the silverware drawer. And I just think, my wife and I have never gotten into an all-out brawl because I was blocking the fork drawer, right? She just says, "Oh, you know, excuse me, hon, can I move over? Let me grab a fork?" "Oh, sure, no problem, I'll pour." That's how easy it has to be. And yet, nightly, it feels like these days, I watch how that innocuous moment turns into a five-minute argument, and my wife and I are wading in as peacekeepers. We feel like, you know, United Nations troops coming in and being like, "Oh my gosh, guys. Like, you, yes, she was blocking the silverware drawer. Like, you could have been nicer. You, like, come on, notice what..." Couldn't you just be a little bit patient, a little bit kind, a little bit slow? There didn't need to be a fight at dinner about something that simple. But it's not just my kids, it's not just my family. I think you all live it too. I feel like we see it at work, that there's just all of these conflicts. And actually, I happened to see her today, like Lisa Schmidt I work with, she's one of the wonderful people I get to work with at this church. She just shared with me today something that landed wrong and just didn't make her feel good. And I loved it, because you know what happened? She came to me and she said, "Hey, you did this thing and it made me not feel good." And I said, "Oh man, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do it. Let me fix it, let me apologize." And she says, "We're good." And it took a few minutes and there was no hurt feelings. And I just remember walking away from it. I didn't tell you this, Lisa, but I just walked away from it and I thought, if only all our problems and conflicts could be that simple. And they could be if people would just do what they're supposed to do. Let people know that you're hurting. Let someone know that something rubbed you the wrong way. Notice that someone's trying to get into the silverware drawer. If we would just do that little extra step and do right, things would be better. And I definitely am relating to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. As I shared earlier, we're walking through the sufferings that Jesus endured on his path to the cross. And it's such a simple thing he's asking of his friends. He says, guys, I'm in a hard way. He knows what's coming. They don't even know fully what's coming. He knows what's coming, and he is stressed. And there's a couple of things here. One, I love the humanity of Jesus. We profess as part of the Christian faith that Jesus was true God and true man, both things together. But what we don't always like to think about is the true man part was real. That means that he did all the things that true human beings do. That means he had to inhale and exhale. He had to respirate. It means he had to have excretions. He had to sweat and cry, and things came out of his body. And it meant he got stressed. We heard Matthew's version of it tonight, but Luke, who is a doctor, we believe, talked about the physical stress that Jesus endured in this moment, that he sweat blood. That's how stressful this moment was for Jesus. And I think we're sometimes uncomfortable with that because we like to picture a Jesus who is above it all. A Jesus who could handle the Pharisees coming at him, a Jesus who could face people's hurts and sins, a Jesus who could heal anyone, and that he just kind of floated through all that with serenity and calm and divine presence. But I love that our God is so good that in Scripture he makes sure to record these moments too, the moments where Jesus was not above it all, the moments where Jesus was so stressed he was sweating blood, the moments that he was suffering so that our suffering would be given meaning and healing. And in that moment of his suffering, I don't know about you, over the course of my years as I've heard this story, I've really judged his friends, especially because I'm a night owl. So no one would even have to ask me to stay up late all night long. I would just do it anyway. There's books to read, games to play, movies to watch. And so it doesn't seem that hard. It doesn't seem like he's asking the moon of them. He's saying, guys, I'm in a bad way. Can you just keep vigil with me? Can you stay up with me? Can you help me know and feel that I'm not alone in my suffering? And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And I think that the feeling I feel sometimes when I watch my kids make mountains out of molehills, when I watch people not do simple things that would make everything go better, I feel that same frustration that I think Jesus must have felt with Peter, James, and John. And if I'm honest, and I hope that you guys are honest too, that for every time that I'm in the Jesus role, feeling frustrated that other people are letting me down, other people aren't doing these basic minimums, that's all it would take to help me out, to make things go smoothly, I have to admit that for every one of those times, there's at least one, probably more of those times, where I'm in the role of Peter, James, and John, where I'm the one who didn't notice that someone was trying to get somewhere, that I was blocking them. I'm the one that let my own anxiety or frustration or tiredness make me react to someone harshly or without thought or compassion or consideration. That for every time I'm Jesus feeling let down by the people around me, I am the one letting down others around me. And I am sure in those moments they are thinking to themselves, why couldn't Doug just do this one simple thing? Why couldn't he have made this go smoothly? Why couldn't he have been more considerate and help make sure this went well? See, here's the picture that we get from the garden. We're all doing this back and forth all the time. We're all sometimes helping and blessing others. We're also sometimes hurting and hindering others. And we're all in this garden together, trying to do life right. Sometimes doing it right, sometimes not doing it right. And it makes me picture, if you've ever seen anyone or you know anyone that's done any sort of mountain climbing in a team, that what you're doing, and it's insane to me, I'm not a mountain climber and I never will be, but they literally chain themselves to other people as they climb the face of a rock. And they hook a rope up and they carabiner themselves to other people. And that is both a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because it means that you're roped to other people and they can help hold you up. And if you're struggling on a crevice or trying to get past a crag, if there's someone above you and you're roped to them, they can help you pull through. They can do the things right. It's also terrifying because it means if someone else drops and they're roped to you, they're going to pull you down with them. And I can only imagine the feeling of being roped or chained to three or four other people, all of us trying to climb this rock face together, knowing that at its best, we're going to be helping pull each other up. But at its worst, one person's mistake could be the doom of all of us. Now, thankfully, we have access to something that most people in the world don't have. Most people are just chained to other human beings. And as they let us down, they pull us off the cliff too. If we let them down, we're pulling them off the cliff. But we have this picture in the garden that even though the disciples let him down, even though they couldn't live up to their end of the relational bargain, Jesus is faithful and true. And even though Jesus was stressed and overwhelmed and hurting, he did not flag or fail. He went through, he fulfilled the cup of suffering that God asked of him. He drank of it and he walked obediently to the cross for us. Which means that you and I actually have an option that no one else does. That we can know that our lives and our success do not depend on our ability to faithfully climb mountains perfectly, to do everything our friends ask of us perfectly. That we can drop the ball, we can fall asleep, we can hurt others out of a moment of tiredness or inconsideration. And Jesus is holding our rope. And the guy that can conquer death, he's not gonna let us pull him off the mountain. He's not gonna let us fall. Peter, James, and John, their weakness at the end of the day, while it meant that Jesus suffered more alone than he should have, it didn't ruin their lives at all because their Savior still died for them, conquered death, earned for them eternal life in spite of their human weakness, in spite of their failings. And so in a moment, we're going to have a reflective opportunity with some carabiners. And if you did not know, that's what these are. These are mountain climbing implements, not these. These are like dollar knockoff store ones. Do not climb a mountain with any of these. You're going to want the real ones. But these are symbolic of this thing that we're all doing together, this thing of life that says we can't go through it alone. We can't climb mountains alone. We can't stay awake in midnight vigils and gardens alone. We have to do it together, which means at some level, we're at the mercy of others around us. At some level, we're at the mercy of our own imperfection. But we also have someone that's in the line with us, someone that's climbing this mountain, and he will not fail. He is, in fact, perfect. And he will accomplish God's good plan and intentions for us, no matter how we flag or fail along the way. So we're going to have two moments now. The first is a moment of quietness and reflection in your seats. I'd like for you to put yourselves in the position of Peter, James, and John, to take a moment just between you and your Lord and reflect on the times where we've dropped the ball, times where we've let something not happen the way it was supposed to, where we've hurt others either out of an act of commission or omission, failing to do what we should have done. I just invite you to take a few minutes and think of those ways where you've let others down and just hold on to your carabiner as you do it and just put those memories, put those actions or lack of actions, put them on that carabiner, and I'll rejoin you up here in a minute.